What? Oh, yeah, I can hear you, I think. Oh, okay, all right, cool. Can I close that door? Fantastic. All right. Where's this at? Do, 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 do. These. And welcome to the Randy Savagery Show. I was informed that we're live, so been a minute, been a second. A lot of different things that we get to discuss. We haven't talked about things in a second. On the agenda list, I'm going to bring it up in the beginning just so you guys know. I probably won't go in order, but we'll see. We got Tucker Carlson, Putin interview, because that to me was fascinating. And then immigration in general, but specifically Chinese immigration. Immigration assistance, citizen assistance, and then a shooting in Troy, Michigan. All right, yeah, so did you guys see that Tucker Carlson interview? Because it was fascinating. I saw it right when it came out. It popped up on my, Spotify. I don't know what the media company is. I think it's NMMA or something. I don't really look, but like, a bunch of people will put their stuff on there, like Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, Andrew Tate, like the manosphere, like the worst of the worst, if you will, the volatile. And so that one popped up. And it was interesting to me because, I mean, Putin doesn't seem like the worst dude in the interview, at least from the interview. I don't know, you know, because like, obviously, there's a ton of history that I am not privy with, but I do know a few things, and I do know that, like, Putin originally was a part of, I think, the KGB, which is, like, the Soviet Union's version of the CIA, and he also is definitely known for murdering through poison either his political operatives. I hear even sometimes journalists that just like talk smack about him. I don't know. Some pretty nasty, nasty things. Not very American, but at least in this interview specifically, he talked about some things that I definitely have always kind of thought from the beginning.
Words that Elon Musk has already had a chip implanted in the human brain in the USA.
Elon Musk внедрил уже чип в мозг какого-то человека.
What do you think of that?
Ну, Маска.
Well, I think there's no stopping Elon Musk. He will do as he sees fit. Nevertheless, you need to find some common ground with him. Search for ways to persuade him. I think he's a smart person. I truly believe he is. So you need to reach an agreement with him because this process needs to be formalized and subjected to certain rules.
Like the Ukraine war, they start out talking about the history of Russia and how, you know, it's like a, I think he starts in like the 1500s and he breaks down this concept of a Ukraine and how Ukraine as a country has only existed as long as I have. It's not that old of a concept and historically has been a part of the Russian culture. And that was fascinating. You know, that kind of was, I was like, oh, snap.
One of our senior United States senators from the state of New York, Chuck Schumer, said yesterday, I believe, that we have to continue to fund the Ukrainian effort or U.S. soldiers, citizens could wind up fighting there. How do you assess that?
Well, if somebody has the desire to send regular troops, that would certainly bring humanity to the brink of very serious global conflict. This is obvious. Do the United States need this? What for? Thousands of miles away from your national territory. Don't you have anything better to do? You have issues on the border. Issues with migration, issues with the national debt, more than $33 trillion. You have nothing better to do, so you should fight in Ukraine? Wouldn't it be better to negotiate with Russia? Make an agreement? Already understanding the situation that is developing today? Realizing that Russia will fight for its interests to the end?
Because all I knew in the beginning was that they weren't that old. That they were only established in 1992. And when I heard that, and then I saw the billions, you know what I'm saying, that Uncle Sam was sending that way. Woo! That's what made me think, hey, well, yo, what's up? I'm as old as that country. If y'all sending money out, that's what made me a little bit like, you know, I'm not for Putin or for the war, but I don't condone giving my Uncle Sam dollars over to that country. No. But anyways, so it was cool to see, though, that like there was even more historical accuracy to that point, that like Ukraine as a country, as an established country, is a little sus. It's not really cut and dry. And if anything, there's a lot of evidence on the other side. So, but I thought it was really cool when he broke down asking him, like Tucker kept hitting him with, like, so what was it? Was it NATO that made you decide to invade? And doing this whole Tucker Carlson thing.
So I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding what you're saying. I don't think that I am. I think you're saying you want a negotiated settlement to what's happening in Ukraine.
Right. And we made it. We prepared a huge document in Istanbul that was initialed by the head of the Ukrainian delegation. He affixed his signature to some of the provisions, not to all of it. He put his signature and then he himself said, we were ready to sign it and the war would have been over long ago, 18 months ago. However, Prime Minister Johnson came, talked us out of it, and we missed that chance.
I mean, Putin kind of broke it down. He made it real clear. And then it didn't seem like, it seems like if it was a lie, Tucker would have been like, oh, that's not true. But he was like, oh, that is true. The NATO concept seems to be pushing further and further onto Russia, right? And they kind of explained it like this. If there was nuclear submarines on the coast of, what would it be? Over there, I guess it'd be like Cuba, right? And they were Russian submarines. Would we be okay with that? If there was some type of nuclear military thing on the border of Mexico, but it was connected to a different country, would we be cool with that? Dude, we would not be cool with that. I know that. We're the United States of America. We don't play that, dude. Home of the free and the brave. So, once he put it that way, it kind of made a lot of sense, because I know that like America would overreact. That's how we roll, you know, not 9/11, weapons of mass destruction. So for him to invade and then do, I guess, like the slow military strike and the taking over of Kyiv and whatnot, it's not completely unreasonable. But also, I'm a humanitarian at the end of the day. I want no war. Any war is bad to me. It is that part's unacceptable. But to keep encroaching on borders is an act of war. And that's why this whole thing is so, so messy. Like, you see a tank rolling through a downtown street and you're like, oh, whoever put that tank there is the bad guy. But you don't always see what's on the border. You don't see the type of military strike that's happening, you know, behind the closed doors or whatever. And they're all a military strike, each one, even the ugly one or the silent one. So that was kind of fascinating to see. And he also broke down, like, this concept. And I don't really know how I see it, but I'm just going to talk about it with y'all. All right, so.
Who blew up Nord Stream?
You for sure.
I was busy that day. Nate, I did not blow up Nord Stream. Thank you, though.
У вас, у вас лично, может быть, есть алиби. У вас лично.
You personally may have an alibi, but the CIA has no such alibi.
Did you have evidence that NATO or the CIA did it?
Uh,
You know, I won't get into details, but people always say in such cases, look for someone who is interested. But in this case, we should not only look for someone who is interested, but also for someone who has capabilities.
Tucker Carlson, after the interview, he eventually goes to a grocery store, right? And he goes in the grocery store and he's like, all right, we're gonna break down how much it costs to buy food for the average for the month. Maybe it was a week, I don't know. And he's going through the store, doing his thing. He's getting the meats, he's getting the cheeses, he's getting all types of good stuff. Oh, and they got all the like Reese's, they got every American name brand thing. They got it in their Russian store. And I heard there was a ban or whatever, but just saying. It comes out to like $120, dude. Like, it definitely seemed like it would have been 500 of our dollars in food, and they only had to pay 120 of our American dollars, which I think was like, I don't know, it was a bunch of their rubles or rubies or whatever type of monopoly money they play with over there. But bottom line is we're, that was a bit shocking to me. But also, like, if you were to go to like Venezuela and go buy a house, I think, or you go to Venezuela, you take like $100,000, you're like a king. You know, at least that's what they say. Like, if you go to a poor country, I think your money goes further. So that was a little bit misleading, you know, or it wasn't. And the way he presented it was really the whole thing. Like,
I just got to ask you one last question. And that's about someone who's very famous in the United States, probably not here. Evan Gershkovitz, who's the Wall Street Journal reporter.
Мы столько сделали жестов доброй воли, что мне кажется, мы исчерпали все лимиты.
We have done so many gestures of goodwill out of decency that I think we have run out of them.
Ни разу не ответил. Но
we have never seen anyone reciprocate to us in a similar manner.
Что мы
However, in theory, we can say that we do not rule out that we can do that.
Исключаем того, что мы можем
это if our partners take reciprocal steps.
Встречном движении со стороны нашего человека, о котором вы сказали, господин.
I do not rule out that the person you refer to, Mr. Gershkovitz, may return to his motherland. By the end of the day, it does not make any sense to keep him in prison in Russia. We want the U.S. Special Services to think about how they can contribute to achieving the goals our Special Services are pursuing. We are ready to talk. Moreover, the talks are underway. And there have been many successful examples of these talks crowned with success. Probably this is going to be crowned with success as well. But we have to come to an agreement.
Why are they getting such cheap food while we're paying racks for the same food? I don't know. But you guys can leave it in the comments below. Make sure that you go ahead and put your opinion. Do you think that that was a misrepresentation? And that when you go to a poor country, of course everything is going to cost less. Or do you think that was a great representation of the markups happening to us in our own? Right? Yeah, so got a new job, guys. Got a new job. I am now working at the Detroit House of Comedy as the doorman. Yeah. My first day I start is the 23rd. I work the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th, and that means that I'm going to be working the door when William Montgomery is headlining. Shouts out to William. One of the funniest Kill Tony stand-up comedians, in my opinion, opens for Joe Rogan. The Big Red Machine. Can't wait to watch you. Protect you. You know what I mean? Just in case anybody tries anything, I got your back, dude. I definitely got your back. But yeah, so that is super exciting to me. Fought for that job. Been trying to get a paycheck in the sphere that I want to make my money in, want my career in, comedian, comedy. And doorman picked it up. everybody knows some of the greatest comedians always start as a doorman. The doorman positions the way in. And when you're a doorman, I know that means that you get first comeuppance when it comes to Tune Up Tuesday, which is the open mic there at the Detroit House of Comedy. Look at all this free promo I'm throwing at him, dude. Free promo, bro. No. I am grateful that I got the job there, and I'm going to very much do my best. So I got employed there, and then also, Savages, I got employed for Michigan Digital. That's right. Michigan Digital. So they are – so Michigan Digital, I think, specifically is like an AV side of the company. I know that they have like – they have like a TV studio. They have a podcast studio rooms and stuff there. But it seems like the main focus there is like securing like AV, television, and live stream jobs that are unrelated to their actual media network. Now, side piece, I also know that either that company owns or is part owner or connected to the Civic Center TTV, which is at the Green Studio, I think is what it's called. Green Media Studio over in West Bloomfield. So I'm hired on there, on-air host, and also a part of the AV on the street team. So pretty excited about that, right? Yeah, dude. I am. Like the AV part definitely seems like it's going to be more challenging, but I also think that it will hold the most value because – you know, learning basically all the stuff that I'm using right now, right? This microphone, this input piece, the differences and the different types, the adapters. I know it's all important. So my first day is Thursday, and I know that we are working at the Renaissance Center setting out breakout rooms. And from what I gathered, what a breakout room is like a projector screen, a monitor so that people can see themselves, or not themselves, but see what's behind them, their peoples, and they're going to give like a speech with slides, maybe a video slides, something, a mixture, Outlook, PowerPoint, I don't know, but I'm willing to do it. And I definitely know that, you know, I can pick heavy things up and set them down on point A to point B. I'll be able to do that part. Plug this into this adapter. And it was cool because my first day wasn't – I already had my first day. My bad. My first day was setting up for a job, what I think they call – I think they call it striking. I don't know exactly, but, like, we were just pulling all of the cords, the two – like, the mechanisms, the projectors, the screens, and we put it all in a nice, organized – conglomerate next to a white van, and then that was it, baby. That's all they needed me for at the moment. But I'm fully in their system. I'm on their pay core. I already saw my hours added into their pay core. So yeah, dude, I'm pretty proud of those things. Excited, yo. Man of many I hope you guys have been doing great. I hope you guys are doing wonderful. And I hope that you guys are continuously thinking about your mental health. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. BetterHealth-Therapy.com. You see, in this world, 2024, there's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of things being thought about. And your mind can go wild. It can go crazy. It can happen to the best of us. Some great people do horrendous things. Some bad people do bad things. School shooters, right? If they could have gotten to my promo code, and if they could have gone to betterhealth-therapy.com, who knows? Who knows the lives that could have been saved? Who knows the people that could still be around? I'm not going to say that's what would happen, but you're not going to tell me it wouldn't have. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you go to betterhealth-therapy.com. And when you do, you got to use my promo code provided below. Don't buy from them without it. Don't just mosey on over there and deal with your problems without entering my code first. All right? You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay, let me look back at my list, ladies and gentlemen, because I know the next thing that I thought was super important that I wanted to actually, not moving on yet. Tucker Carlson and Putin, right? The funniest thing to me, yo, there was a point in the interview where Putin was like, he was like, oh, you know, the KGB, kind of like the CIA. He's like, you know, the company that you tried to work for, but you weren't allowed. I respect them. You, a journalist, I don't respect you. You're a coward. And I thought it was so hilarious. I was like, get him. Get his behind, boy. Because, I mean, obviously I don't agree with that. I do journalistic things all the time, and I look up to journalists. But Tucker Carlson is a little bit too for me. And it's so funny because the more that I like, now that he has his own show, and obviously he's a Goliath in the game, but he is just like a little dweeby twerp with his little excitement and stuff, you know, his little, I cannot stand it. Well, I can stand it because I watched the show, but I like to make fun of it. And I often laugh during his little childish, excitable outbursts, but that part. All right. Yeah, dude. So moving on to immigration. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, have you guys looked into this? And I don't know if you have, and I've been recently privied to it. So I guess on the DL, there is a massive illegal immigration issue happening in this country right now. So illegal immigrants are flooding in at a higher rate than what is normal or usual, right? And what is specifically fascinating to me is, I guess, and I think it's through the Panama Canal, but I'm not 100% sure, but it's through a different country. Mass immigrants of Chinese illegals are coming into America, right? And from what I heard, right, don't quote me, and I heard it from, I think his name's Brett Weinstein. According to Brett Weinstein, and I know that he went there, so he visually saw it, but
you've already seen a lot of people in the black community that have turned towards Trump because they're seeing what's going on with this immigration and how it's affecting them, and the fact that these people that are coming in that are illegal immigrants are getting so much aid that they're not getting. And they're like, this is fucking crazy. This is our community, and you're having these people come in, you're giving them food and money and shelter, and you won't do it for us, and we've been here forever, and we're Americans. This is crazy. And then there's a lot of people that, like even Michael Rappaport, because of the way things are going in the world, is saying that, and he fucking hates Trump, and he talks wild shit about Trump. Even he's saying that, first of all, that's not off the table, and that now that's the only solution.
Well, I don't think we're there yet, but I don't think on the basis of the time he would have, his temperament, or his ability to build a team. You know, Trump is kind of a one-man show. And his team building ability, I don't think, is enough to solve the problem either. But the punchline of that is, if Kennedy can't do it for whatever reason, if politics gets in the way, we still have to get whatever that cabal is out of power immediately. This could not be more of an emergency. We've seen through COVID how dangerous these people are, how little they care about our well-being, and we have to rally around whatever it is that addresses this problem. And, you know, as much as I'm not a believer that Trump on his own can do the job, I would far prefer him to another standard bearer of that cabal. The cabal is too dangerous. And I say this, as you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat. Right? This is my party that I'm telling you cannot be trusted with governance. But that's where we are.
The border crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So you went and saw the migration. You saw the groups of people that are making their way up through.
Yeah. I was invited. Actually, my son Zach, and I went to Panama, where I have some history. I did my bat work on Barrow, Colorado Island in Gatun Lake, the Panama Canal. So Panama is a place I'm familiar with, but Michael Yon invited us down to go look at the migration in the Darien. Oh, there's a gap in the Pan American Highway, about 60 miles that were never built, in this highway that otherwise stretches from Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, to the southern tip of South America. And what's there is a tremendously significant and very difficult jungle in the Darien Gap. So there's a national park there. And ordinarily, people do not cross the Darien Gap. It is a famously difficult obstacle. And what we see there is that the international community is encouraging a massive migration of people from South America into Central America, and that almost all of those people are ending up crossing our southern border and entering the U.S. The ones who are questioned are claiming political asylum, which is not accurate. So we talked to many, many migrants, and the universal story amongst the migrants who would talk to us is that they were fleeing bad economic conditions in the direction of what looks like greater opportunity. They've been told by the international community that they should come across the Darien Gap, where many of them are not surviving the trek. It's extremely dangerous. And they're migrating north. Now, the really troubling thing, though, is that that migration is familiar in one way. It looks a little bit like the migrations of Central Americans that migrated north when we were kids. But there is another migration. There is a migration of Chinese immigrants that looks different, feels different, and is being housed in a totally separate way in Darien for reasons that are not in any way obvious. Now, I don't know exactly what to make of that. I have hypotheses. There are no more than that. But the Chinese migration is not forthcoming about why it is migrating. It is composed mostly of young military-aged men. There are some women present, but it's not 50-50 by far. And the international community has arranged separate encampments. The Chinese are in many cases traveling a separate way to be interested in talking. And even if they, for some reason, because they had lived under a totalitarian regime, felt that they couldn't talk, they wouldn't be broadcasting hostility. They would be ambivalent or something. And that is not the impression that they leave when interacting with them. So I found that utterly alarming. And I came to wonder if the migration of people coming up from South America, many of whom, by the way, are not South American. There are people coming from the Middle East. We met Afghans. There are people from Iran, Yemen, all over the world. They land in Ecuador, which has no visa requirement, and then they migrate through Colombia into Central America and straight up to the U.S. But in any case, that massive migration seems to provide a cloak for this other migration from China, which is nothing if not mysterious.
Why are they letting it happen? Why do you think the government is allowing the border to be so porous? And why are they resisting when Texas tries to do something about it?
Well, I always worry when we're trying to understand what's happening and the information is not being shared with us. You have to ask yourself the question of how many separate things are in play, right? Before I went to Panama, I thought there was a migration of people. Now I think there are two. One of them's clearly a migration, and the other one could well be an invasion.
There is a mass amount of military age men, Chinese illegals, that are immigrating to America. And when he tried to discuss with them, why are you leaving? You know, what are you escaping? He said, under usual circumstances of a immigrant, they will say, you know, they're leaving a totalitarian government. They want a better life. They want to start a family in America. The streets are paved with gold and honey. But these specific immigrants, right? And I think it's like 33,000 either last year or I would have to assume it would be a statistic from 2023. But that these gentlemen that he tried to talk to, they were aggressively standoffish, like, don't talk to me, I don't want to speak to you. They were mean about it. And he said that that particular aspect seems a bit odd. I don't know. You know what I mean? I really don't. And also, at least in my anecdotal experience, I have not seen any type of mass wave of Chinese or Asian people, just the same amount that I've always seen, same good amount. But if that is happening, I think that what he was alluding to is that it could be a possibly planned invasion of types, right? Now, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Put your tinfoil hat on. Maybe that ain't true. Well, we do know the immigration part's true, but maybe the other part ain't true. But while your tinfoil hat's on, we can bring up this other part that your homeboy Dr. Phil said on the Joe Rogan show today.
What's happening with Chinese buying, the Chinese government or Chinese nationals buying farmland? And I've got a map, if I can find it, of where they're buying this land, and it's around U.S. military installations. They're buying up land around U.S. military installations. And so when you look at the amount of land that they're buying, it's not all that much. I mean, it's a lot of land, but given as much land as there is, it's like maybe less than 1%. But when you look at it strategically around military installations, it's really concerning. And then when you look at what's happening at those military installations that they have land around, like B-2 stealth bomber training, drone training and all, it's very, very troubling.
God, it's so strategic where it's all placed.
Yeah, if I can get a hold of that map and show it to you.
It's kind of crazy that the United States has been invaded. And when did that start? With the purchase of farmland?
You know, it's been going on.
For how long? This is talking about... Sun owns 40% of Chinese-owned land in the U.S. He owns over 100,000 acres of land in Valverde County, Texas. Although his two companies, Brazos Highland Properties and Harvest Texas, through his two companies. His purchases in 2016, 2017, his plans to build a wind farm as well as his purported ties to Chinese military drew scrutiny in Texas several years after his acquisitions. He ultimately was denied permission to proceed with his wind farm plans. So they own the land, but they won't let them proceed with the wind farm.
Yeah, and they're building a wind farm where it's not very windy. but it does butt up against a strategic military installment.
What a coincidence. This is the best land that was available. Yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, how would that be possible here under logical laws? Because in China, you can't do that. They're smart. You can't just buy their land.
We absolutely cannot buy farmland there.
No, you can't buy their businesses either.
Now, we had a man on talking about this, a farmer, and he said they also own the grain elevator where we sell our grain. The Chinese own that. The Chinese government owns that. So, and I said Chinese government. Chinese own that. Now, is it the government? Is it a government agent? Who owns it? He said it's Chinese owned and controlled. If they decide to stop buying his grain, I said, what happens? He said, well, we're out of business.
Yeah. And then you take that on top of that, the topsoil crisis in this country.
Yeah.
They've got like 60 more crops left.
Yeah.
Unless they do something radical.
That there is like a map of farmland being bought up also by Chinese either... owned, it's not Chinese government owned, so it's like either a Chinese immigrant, Chinese company, but it can't be owned by the government. But these farmlands are being bought right around military installations. Woo! Immigration, land around military installations. Now we can take the tinfoil hat off, but something to think about, something to mark. You know what I mean? Possible coincidence, maybe. Planned out, methodical, possible. Who knows? All right? I don't know. But what I do want to move on to and what I do know is the immigration issue as a whole, right? We definitely know that there has been a mass push at the Mexican border for illegals to come up, especially with proclamations from such places and sanctuary cities as New York, huh? That has said, with open arms, if you're an illegal, come to us and we will help you. And listen, I ain't even got a problem with that, yo. Honestly, I would do the same thing. And if somebody's giving money away, take it. But here's my problem, right? You're an illegal immigrant and you come over the border. And if you get picked up by a border patrol officer in green, right, then you are arrested, you're processed, you're given money, you're given a court date. And that court date later on, you can so choose to go or not go. But what you're not done is released back into your own country. You're released into ours. I looked up, because I was just curious, right? I was wondering. I looked up, yo, I was talking to AI, as I often do. I say, AI, chat, as I call it. What does Michigan offer immigrants when it comes to assistance, right? Pops up what the lowdown is. It says illegal immigrants. It says migrants. And then it says lawful, like citizenship or something, right? But the benefits that they get for 1 to 2 years, they get a $500 to $700 subsidized voucher onto their rent. So anywhere they live, that piece of the rent is getting paid, right? I was like, what? Okay, that's insane. And then I saw that they had food assistance programs for them. I saw that they had job assistant programs. So I was like, whoa, what? Yo, you can get a job working for Uber, but you don't have any proof of a citizenship. Well, then how are they driving a car? Do they not have a license? I don't understand. But what I do understand is that if a man crosses that border into this country, he's getting more assistance than a man who was born in this country. And that's not right. That's explicitly wrong. So that piece of that puzzle should really get dealt with. There should be an outcry of some sort. Definitely, if you're an illegal immigrant, I'm not saying they don't deserve that money, but if they get that money, then if a person is short on their rent, where's their money? Where's the assistant program that's going to pay for you for a year or 2 years, right? Because it seems like the assistances that they offer to individuals here, you have to be a drug addict. You have to be an alcoholic. You have to be homeless. You have to be basically a criminal to get assistance. And that's definitely effed up. It's not conducive with creating a society that's going to be highly functional, more functional, or be able to help those who fall down on like the totem pole in society. But you're going to help individuals that are illegally not supposed to be a part of it. That's messed up, yo. That's really, if you ask me, kind of a backwards scenario, personally. I don't know. I work with this guy and this girl. This girl was talking about how she's like this. She's from Florida. So she'll always be like, well, that's how it is in Florida. That's how it was in Florida. And she was talking about how Oh, I remember. Thank you. Thank you, brain. This cat had to go home early, right? And this girl like made the statement. She's like, well, if anybody's got to go home early, I can do it, right? And I was like, well, if anybody has the opportunity to stay the latest till close, I can do it. I made that statement like the opposite. And she was like, yeah, wait, as long as if I don't go home early, it's not going to keep cutting back on my hours. And then she begins to say, because back in Florida when I worked at Shake Shack, they started cutting back on my hours when I went home early once. I said, what? She's like, yeah. And my big brother was the one who got me the job. He said, if anybody starts cutting back on your hours or messing with you, you tell me. And I said, oh, did you tell him? She said, yeah. I said, okay. What did he do then? Because it seemed like from your story that they cut back on your hours and they were messing with you. It was wild, man. She's like, no, you don't understand. He got so angry, called me, told me I had to rush up there. And he almost broke my window out trying to get me out of the car to go work. And I thought, your brother doesn't seem like he's protecting you that very well. Yuck. But it was fascinating to me because she didn't feel that way. She was giving me an example of her brother's, like, you know, ability. Her brother's ability to protect her. And I was like, man, that's not what happened. Interesting. All right. Oh, yeah. So this is one that I actually have to look up because I saw the headline, but I personally don't even know the full story yet, but I'm very excited to know. Well, not excited, but I was interested. Michigan. Dun, 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 dun. All right, let's look it up. Yeah, and it was outside of a steakhouse. So, let's see what it says. It says, Troy, Michigan, Fox 2. Yeah, let me put my, since I'm doing it. A woman was shot several times in the legs Friday night outside a Ruth's Chris steakhouse. According to police, the victim was with a friend and a baby walking to their car in the park. Yo, why do news broadcasters talk with the fake talk? What's with the fake talk? Like, I'll do it. You know what I mean? You'll catch me out. You catch me on Civic Center TV. I'll do it, whatever they want. But what is with it? It doesn't sound good. But all right. So the victim was with a friend and a baby walking to their car in the parking lot of the high-end restaurant on West Big Beaver Road. And if you guys know Troy, that's Big Beaver money. You know what I'm saying? Troy, actually, is where the Michigan Digital office is. So I work out that way. A lot of big money. You know what I mean? You got to just do a lot of smiles, have a nice coat on, pretend to fit in. Anywho, basically I'm saying if you're shooting someone in Troy, it's a big risk. A lot of cops, a lot of money, not a lot of crime. All right. So when a white Durango pulled up and opened fire, sources told Fox 2 Hazel Park police chased the suspect's vehicle into Detroit but lost it. Whoa, man. Yo. Future reference, Fox, Hazel Park, leave that piece out because you just motivated so many criminals to know, oh, you could still shoot someone three times in the legs and get away, baby, because that's wild. How'd you lose them? How do you lose them in this day and age? With geolocating, with cell phones, if you followed them that long, how could you possibly lose them? But anywho, a woman is injured after being shot at while leaving Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Troy. The woman, who is in her 20s, was taken to a local hospital and is in stable condition, police say. So you shot a woman and you didn't even kill her. You didn't even kill her and you did it in a rich area and you got away. That's insane. So she lives. You get the story. You pulled it off in a wow. Ballsy. Ballsy criminal. All right, so according to the Troy Police Department on Facebook, as officers continue with the investigation, there does not appear to be an elevated threat in the public. Police are still searching for the suspects and are asking the public for any information. Tips can be given at bleep. I ain't getting no money. I ain't giving out that. You know what I'm saying? Not a chance. Listen, death, destruction, mayhem, I'm not for that. But what I am for is liquid death. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever been thirsty in, like, I mean, there's certain things that you might be engaging in, certain activities. Maybe you're running. Maybe you're jogging. Maybe maybe you're making love. You know what I mean? Maybe you're procreating. You're creating. You're a creator. You get thirsty, though, during that period, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're thirsty, what you need to do is you need to get a liquid death. Now, liquid deaths are sold at stores, so if you want to grab one there, totally feel free. Guess what? However you want to grab it's okay with me, because this is not a promo code. This is not an advertisement. What this is a full-on sponsorship. So, as a marquee sponsor, Liquid Death, we thank you, and we think that the masses should get out there and drink your water from a can. Crack open a can once in a while. You know, microplastics, they're a big problem, they say. They say that human beings are inhaling up to a gram of plastic every month, maybe even every week. I don't know, right? You don't know. And I'm sure even the scientists don't really know. But what we do know is that microplastics hold phthalates. And what phthalates are doing are causing children to be born with smaller penises and smaller genitals, and their taint sizes are smaller as well. Do you want the continuation of this to happen in the human race? I think not. So drink liquid death. Drink it up. Guzzle it down. Crack one open. Liquid death. All right? Yeah, man. So it was pretty cool, though, to, like, I mean... Yo, this is a comedy podcast. I am a comedian, and comedy is what I live for. So I'm pretty excited about working at the Detroit House of Comedy, yo. Like, what is big, right? When I say the biggest, what is that? Some of the most viral clips that I've seen going around of stand-up comedians, those guys are going to be headlining at the club that I work at. And, it was crazy. Like, I go to the interview. I do that whole thing, the whole this, the that. And I get there. So, like, there is no parking space, right? This is right downtown. And I park in a little secret location I know that's free parking. But then your boy's got to get to walking, right? And it's a far walk. I pull out the GPS. And I see that the club is 27 minutes away. Walking. No problem. Fit as a fiddle. Love to get a good walk in. And I started hoofing it. And I did make sure that I got there more than 30 minutes early, because I suspected something like this would occur. So I'm walking, I'm doing my thing, and I'm headed to the interview. Times are passing. And, you know, I'm a competitive guy. I get competitive, and I'm competitive with myself at this moment. So I'm watching the time. And I'm like, they say 27 minutes, but what can I do, huh? You know? And, you know, I cut my time, I think, all the way down to, like, I think I cut it down to 22 minutes when I actually arrived. But I passed it, right, because there's no, like, banister outside or anything. It is a part of, I think, Hockey Town Barn Grill or something like that. It's right across the street from Ford Field. So I pass it. I got to walk backwards. Now I'm like 3 minutes late. I'm like, no, I was on perfect time. I get in there. Or no. The door isn't even open. I blah, 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 blah. I'll knock. This white lady walks up to me, and she's like, you here for us? And I'm like, Detroit House of Comedy? She's like, yeah, it lets me in. Woo, I'm in the room. I'm in the building. I'm upstairs. So actually, I have to go downstairs. So I have to use the bathroom. And I ask her, like, yo, where do I go? Or I got to use the bathroom. Where do I go? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, go downstairs. Blah, blah, blah. I go down there. I use the bathroom. I come back up. And she's like, oh, you want a water? Yes, I do. Proceeds to get me a water. I get the water. We're talking. And she says, you know, Kyle's still in the interview with the guy who came before you. And I'm sure they'll be done shortly. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. So I made it. I'm on time. I'm actually early, basically, because they're still interviewing. And Kyle is a kid. Or he's not a kid. He's my age. We're both adults. But he was a kid that went to the same high schools as me. Same area, right? And I'm feeling quite confident. Feeling quite confident. Although I don't know if he remembers me. And one time I stole one of his jokes. I stole a joke. Not on stage. One of his jokes online. Like he said a joke post. I don't even know what you call it. He said he wrote a funny post, right? And then I took it and I reposted it without giving him credit. And within maybe 2 hours, he called me out for it. And I thought that was quite funny. And I proceeded to leave it there. I did not take it down. And I did, but I did say, you're right. I took it. But, yeah, so I go and do that. I meet with him. Fantastic. And, oh, no, I'm sorry. I haven't met with him yet. Yeah, so I'm sitting with her, and she's like, so what do? Will you do comedy? What's your thing? What's up? I was like, yeah, I've done stand-up comedy. I'm not the best at it. I need to do way more. I shy away from it. I do comedy mostly online. I do a podcast, you know? I like to do skits, and I like improv. And she's like, oh, all right, that's cool. Yeah. She's like, we used to have this podcast, and it was, like, right up here, like, in this high-rise or something, right? And I was like, oh, that's a super smart idea. You know, I'll have a podcast right there. And that's when I thought to myself, you know, yeah, you know, how cool would it be if I make like a real solid connection here at this club? And then obviously it all have to be incentivized and whatnot. But like picture if, you know, a huge stand-up comedian comes through. They like William is here. They're going to be here for 3 days because they're working the club the whole weekend, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, you want to come and do the Randy Savage show? You come on down. Yo, I mean, I think the club's probably a 27-minute drive from the studio. Bada bing, bada boom. And then that's a pipeline how to get comedians on the show. Now, obviously, that's just, you know, possible, hopeful, you know, end goal. No. But if not, I'm just glad to be there and then also to be able to get the stage time and to be kind of forced to go up there and do the open mic, you know. And if you're going to do open mic anywhere, it's the best place. I mean, they sell tickets to the open mics there, you know, because I'm pretty sure they'll roast the open micers, kind of like the Kill Tony format type of scenario. So it makes it, I guess, you know, way more entertaining than just if you were to go to see just normal open micers, maybe. Because at least you know that the people roasting the open micers, they are talented comedians. They're going to have good jokes off the cuff. They're going to be able to work that angle. So you'll be entertained. But regardless, yeah, dude. I mean, that. And then also, just as excitement is about the on-air host, you know? Like, I don't really know exactly how public television all works. You know what I mean? Like, I think I want to see how the studio works. I want to learn stuff about it and whatnot. They don't really, their show don't get that many views. And maybe it's not about the views, though. I don't know. I don't really know. But I would like to wear the suit, you know what I mean? And like this, and welcome to the splash and all that. Like, Bloomfield, da da da, and say WTTTTV, all that. I'm into it, dude. And you want to know why I like it, guys, because I know probably a lot of my peoples, you guys probably hate it just because this whole thing has always been kind of like Wing Chun'd the opposite way of that. We're so free-spirited and free-moving here. We float ads in without you even knowing. We have such progressive flowed movement. But for me, it's this. I feel that it is a beautiful practice in my ability to perform, my ability to entertain, and my adaptability. You want me to work clean? I want to be able to work clean. You want me to be able to work dirty at Skankfest for Gas Digital Network? I want to be able to bring the most edgelord, grotesque comedy to you. I feel that one's ability to mold and form to his scenario is admirable. That's what I like. I guess I've always kind of been a 007 type of fan. I kind of liked Jason Bourne. You know, I want someone who's going to be able to fly by the wheel and chameleonize their presence into the community. Rather, I guess, than like a Rambo. I'm not really so much of a Rambo guy as much, because here's the thing. The Rambo, the Renegade, the Jesse James, they die. they die. Their story is cool, and it's usually short, and it's hot, and it's American Speed, baby, but they die. They're gone. Or they do 30 years in prison. The Maverick, I mean, he paves the way and he opens up the doors, but a lot of times they're gone. But the strategic, methodical warlord, the individual who kind of schmoozes his way through, he doesn't think about 5 years, but he does the 25-year play. He thinks about what's going to happen 25 years after he's gone. Those people, to me, they have longevity. They're the Rothschilds and you know, they're the Maxwells of the world, of history books. So I feel like I have always given more sought-out admiration towards working that way and moving that way. And I guess I just feel like I'm very proud that I'm moving that way. And I know you guys are going to be that way as well. You know what I mean? When I send you clips of me straight laced with the suit on and doing my thing or whatever, you're gonna like it because I like it, you know. And when you don't have the ability to work clean, you are limiting only yourself. Your limitations are being placed on yourself at that moment, and the only person who's doing it is you. It's like if you're a fentanyl addict and you're going to the methadone clinic, and you could quit going to the methadone clinic, right? And you're off the fentanyl now. All you got to do is get that I forget what it's called, but that shot. You get that once a month shot, and then no opiates even work in your body. You Vivitrol yourself, but you're like, I like where I'm at here at the methadone clinic. I like what's going on. You know, if you ask me, what you could try, even if you don't want to still do that, you know what I mean? Because you're like, oh, I'm doing good. I'm off the fentanyl. I'm at the methadone clinic, and I don't want to do the shot. You could go to kratomspot.com. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Kratomspot.com. Listen to me. Kratom is a phenomenal product for many. And if you don't use it, don't start doing it now. That's not what we're about here. But if you right now are stuck at some type of clinic that's connected to opiate abuse, or if you're already a Kratom user and you're blowing all your cash, you're throwing it in the garbage at gas stations, smoke shops, and some type of hookah lounge, don't do that, man. What you need to stop and do at this exact moment is you need to take my promo code that's down there, and what you need to do is go to kratomspot.com, type in my promo code so they know that Randy Savagery sent you, and stop blowing your cash and start feeling kratomy, whatever it does to you. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. But if you're under 18, don't do it. Don't get involved. I don't care if you do it already. Don't use my promo code. Actually, get the heck out of here, Jit. Don't the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You know what I mean? If you're a child under 18, don't be doing any of that. But if you're an adult, then KratomSpot.com is the place where you should get your Kratom. And make sure that you use my promo code down below. That's it.